King Prithu said, O gentle members of the assembly, may all good fortune be upon you. May all of you great souls who have come to attend this meeting kindly hear my prayer attentively. A person who is actually inquisitive must present his decision before an assembly of noble souls. Purport. In this verse, the word sadhavaha, all great souls, is very significant. When a person is very great and famous, many unscrupulous persons become his enemies, for envy is the nature of materialists. In any meeting there are different classes of men, and it is to be supposed, therefore, that because Prithu Maharaj was very great, he must have had several enemies present in the assembly, although they could not express themselves. Maharaj Prithu, however, was concerned with persons who were gentle, and therefore he first addressed all the honest persons, not caring for the envious. He did not, however, present himself as a royal authority empowered to command everyone, for he wanted to present his statement in humble submission before the assembly of great sages and saintly persons. As a great king of the entire world, he could have given them orders, but he was so humble, meek and honest that he presented his statement for approval in order to clarify his mature decision. Everyone within this material world is conditioned by the modes of material nature and therefore has four defects. But although Prithu Maharaj was above all these, still, like an ordinary conditioned soul, he presented his statements to the great souls, sages and saintly persons present there. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada notes that in any meeting there are different classes of men. So this presumably refers to a public meeting in which there's a cross-section of the population. Just like we presume here in this meeting that the envious types who are mentioned in this purport are not present. People are envious of Krishna. Generally don't assemble in the Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning. But if we publicly speak, then it's more likely, almost certain that we're going to come across not only people who are willing and eager to hear the message, as presumably all of you are here, because you don't have to come here in the morning. But there will be people who are apathetic to that message or antagonistic toward it also. There are some people who, like snakes, if they hear the message of Godhead, they become angry. Here Prithu Maharaj addresses the honest people, the sadhus, sadhava, the plural of sadhu. So that word can be translated in various ways. Srila Prabhupada has translated it as honest. Shrinvanti gayanti gurnanti sadhava. In this famous verse, Srila Prabhupada translates the same word, sadhavaha, as purified souls who are thoroughly honest. Such persons will hear, repeat, and accept the message of Krishna consciousness. Who knows the first line of that verse? Important verse. Say it. Tadvad visargo. Janataga viplavo. Yasmin prati shlokam abadhavatyapi. Namanyanantasya yashonkitani yachtrinvanti gayanti gurnanti sadhava. It's an important verse. Srila Prabhupada quotes it right in the preface of his Srimad Bhagavatam. On the other hand, this is how Srila Prabhupada begins the translation of this verse, because it comes just after one verse in which writings or words that glorify or discuss any topic other than Krishna is likened to a pilgrimage place for crows, which means a garbage heap. I suppose you don't see in this country, but in India, in Africa and various places, it's common to have big stinking piles of garbage, and the crows like to congregate there. And they have a big philosophical assembly. They discuss high philosophy. Well, not high philosophy, it's crow philosophy. But on the other hand, that literature which is full of the descriptions of the unlimited Supreme Lord, even though imperfectly composed, can cause a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. Therefore, purified men who are thoroughly honest hear, repeat, and accept such messages. So sadhava means people who are honest and ready to accept the message of Godhead. They're not envious. They're ready to accept that. And people who are envious, we see here Prithu Maharaj, his message was principally to those who are ready to accept it. That's in line with the later injunction of Bhagavatam, how a preacher or how a middle level devotee, Madhyam Adhikari, should interact with different classes of people, beginning with the topmost person, Krishna. Ishvare tad adhineshu dalisheshu dvishatsucha prema maitri kripo peksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. The behavior, or how a middle level devotee interacts with others, is described that he loves the Supreme Lord. He befriends the devotees. He is merciful to the innocent and he neglects the envious. So he preaches to the innocent. Preaching to the envious means they'll simply become more envious. They'll become more angry. So for them, mercy is given by avoiding them. But in a public assembly, that means if we're going to preach in public, that envious people will be present. Envious people will always be there. So one sign of our success in preaching, Srila Prabhupada noted, is if people don't like us. We might think that our success in preaching is if people like us. But another sign is if people don't like us. So that means that some people should like it, those who are purified men who are thoroughly honest. And there should be others also who don't like it, because if we're speaking what we should speak, which is the message of Krishna, the message of the Absolute Truth, then definitely some people are not going to like it. And so the idea that we should perform mundane welfare activities so that people will like us is subsidiary to the speaking of the actual message of the Absolute Truth. Definitely people will like us if we do things that they value. If we have a naked dance show, they'll probably like that too. But we're not going to do that. But more important than people liking us is that they hear the message of Godhead by which they will become benefited in the ultimate sense. That means they can distinguish, they can begin to distinguish reality from illusion, and thus perceiving reality, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and our constitutional position as servants to him, that their mentality of wanting to exploit the resources of this material world for their sense gratification, their mentality of thinking Ishvaro hamaham bhogi, I am the controller, everything in the world is meant for my consumption. But this is opposite to the purified mentality, or the pure mentality, of accepting myself as a servant of Krishna. So, preaching Krishna consciousness means to bring people to that position. Where, of course, people, they may like our Harinam and our Prasadam, but they have to come to the point of liking our philosophy. Otherwise they'll think we're just some minstrels and gourmets, cooks, something like this. And they won't distinguish us, just like they may have some Brazilian carnival or something like that. So we can have festivals with Harinams and Prasadam distribution, but if the philosophy is not there, then it'll be just in the minds of the public, just like some carnival for sense gratification. So the message has to be spoken. The word is used here in this verse, satsu, which is translated unto the noblemen. So that verse comes elsewhere in Bhagavatam also, where Krishna says, Tato du sangamudsrija. What is that next line? Tato du sangamudsrija. Satsu sajeta buddhiman. I'm forgetting. And the next line is that. Manovya sangamuktivi. Saha sadhu. What is that? Chindanti. Manovya sangamuktivi. But that, therefore, understanding this material world to be miserable, one should associate with saintly persons who, by their words, cut the attachments to this material world. So that's the... I presume it's from this statement of Bhagavatam that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the... He spoke of sadhus who stand like an executioner with a knife ready to cut, just like the animals in the sacrifice, they're cut. So the material attachments and misconceptions are cut by the sadhus. So who will want to go for execution? Actually, everyone is going for execution. Going to the university, their Prabhupada called that the slaughterhouse. So that's going for execution. Just being a member of the modern society means we're in the slaughterhouse. From the very beginning, our tendency toward Krishna is cut, is slaughtered. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the analogy of Putana, he spoke of the Putana who is killing all the babies. That's her dharma. Putana dharma, or Putana adharma, is to kill babies and suck their blood. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that just like Putana goes to suck the blood of the babies, so the parents and everyone else of the babies, the young children, as soon as they come out of the womb, they're immediately indoctrinated into that which will cause their greatest misfortune. They're indoctrinated into the idea that we're in this world to enjoy it, and you have to become a member of the society that... You have to act in... Everyone is enculturated into a culture that destroys any tendency they may have for their own actual benefit. So everyone is going to the slaughter. But the sadhu, he is also a slaughterer, but he's a benign slaughterer because he slaughters he cuts the attachments to this material world. But because people are enculturated in a wrong way, they think that what is good for them, or they take to be what is good for them, that which is actually the worst thing for them. It's a completely misdirected understanding of reality. They may even fight each other over communism versus capitalism or Islam versus Christianity, but it's just all one phase of ignorance against another phase of ignorance, because people are not whether you're a communist or a capitalist or a Christian or a Muslim, or it doesn't help you very much. It's just a different varieties of ways to forget Krishna, that's all. So there's nothing very auspicious about any of it. So the devotees are to speak the message of the Absolute Truth. That thing I was saying about the people, they may like our prasadam and our harinam. Okay, that's nice, but not our philosophy. There was actually, I think it was just yesterday, was it, or the day before, someone told me. Yeah, it was Giriraj Maharaj actually told me that he had heard at this bhakti fest or some similar kind, at this festival, one of the organizers had told one of our devotees that we like your kirtan, we like your prasadam, but we don't like your philosophy. Openly envious. And they want to enjoy kirtan and prasadam and then all the beautiful yoginis who are very, very healthy and ready for action. So, they're rascals. So, they're envious actually. It's quite possible that people can like our kirtan and can like our prasadam, but they don't become purified because they have such an envious mentality. And they take Krishna consciousness as something to be enjoyed. And bhakti is a platform for finding out beautiful young yoginis and promoting one's own career. We should understand very clearly that the necessity of giving this message clearly, just as on one of the pictures of Srila Prabhupada on the stairs here with the quotes from his letters and lectures. So he said, we're giving these books so that people can know what, I'm paraphrasing now, I don't remember it exactly, that what is actual substantial knowledge, not weak sentiment. So it's very easy just to be on the weakly sentimental platform, and people like that. People like, if we sing and dance, people like that. That's good. If they like it, it's good for them. But the real test comes when you bring the philosophy. So, singing and dancing, that's all very good, but the philosophy must be given also. Otherwise, people won't come to the platform of understanding what this is all about. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Dvijamani Gora, this Udila Varana Purabha Bhagi Dvijamani Gora Amani Jage Bhakata Samoa Loya Shate Gelo Nagara Braja. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would rise early in the morning and take his devotees with him for Harinam Sankirtan. And Tatai Tatai Bhajala Kal Ghanagana Tahe Janjara Ral Premer Dhala Dhala Shonara Anga Charani Nupura Bhaja. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing very beautifully, his golden form is shimmering in love of Krishna, his ankle bells are jingling, the mridangas are pounding, and the janja, what they call wampas, and someone made up that word, wampas. But actually it's supposed to be played like this, traditionally, not like... So then what's the next line? Mukunda Madhava Jadhava Hari Boleno Bolare Bodha. And the rest of the song is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preaching to all the people about how you shouldn't waste your... Chant the holy names, don't waste your life, don't pass each day simply working in the day and sleeping at night. So he's giving the philosophy also. And Srila Prabhupada instructed to do this on Harinam Sankirtan. So you go and chant, then you stop a little, explain a little, then again you sing, stop a little, explain a little, like this. So the real challenge is not that simply people will like us, but they all right, we want people to like, but for the right reason. It's like the Salvation Army when they were... You must have a Salvation Army in America, yeah? You all heard of that, right? Do they still go around doing their kirtans on the corners with their... They have second-hand stores and this and that. So they started off as a group which would go into the streets doing something resembling kirtan with brass band, trombone and all this. I remember seeing them as a kid in England sometimes. But then they got... Then they thought, well, they had a lot of opposition. And people didn't like them. So then they thought, let's do welfare activities. So they started doing welfare activities. And now they don't do their kirtan at all. They just do their... They have their hospitals and their... Who knows what else? Second-hand stores. And they don't do their kirtan at all. They get... So... People like them, if they even know anything about them. But... They lost their soul. They lost their mission. To a large... Of course, I don't know the intimate goings-on of the Salvation Army. But we should be very careful. Of course, we want people to like us rather than dislike us. But it's better that they dislike us for the right reason than like us for the wrong reason. In other words, we should be giving the message of the absolute truth, without which there is no preaching. There's no meaning to preaching. And if they dislike us for that, in one sense it's good, because at least they've heard our message. They wouldn't dislike us if they hadn't heard our message. But if they like us because we're doing the things that they like us to do, and we're not telling them what they need to hear, then we're bogus, and they like us because we're bogus like them. So it's a complete failure. Hare Krishna. That's all I'll say for now. Enough food for thought, unless you have any questions. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. So there's a thing that charity begins at home.
Charity begins at home. Maybe. Prabhupada sometimes quoted that, yeah. Yes, in our own communities. We have to speak the philosophy of Krishna consciousness also. When we speak what's in Prabhupada's books, people don't like it. So what should we do? We should... Well, I thought of a good idea by which we could make our book distribution much easier. We take out all the nasty things in the books that people don't like to hear, and then we'll only have about 3 pages left, and then they'll see we can distribute a whole set of Bhagavatam very easily. It'll only cost like 20 cents. But purified men who are thoroughly honest appreciate hearing the real thing, because that's everything else is just a promise of well-being. With it's like an advertisement. You see an advertisement, drink Coca-Cola, and the implied message is that you'll be happy. But anyone who's little intelligent, which is not many people, knows that it's bogus. It's not many people, because Coca-Cola has been running on for 100 and something years just on propaganda. Because no one... Who's going to drink Coca-Cola if it wasn't advertised? So they're running on propaganda, and they're doing a very good business. So it just goes to show, people are stupid. That's just one... Every advertisement is a monument to stupidity. that people will spend money on things that they don't want and they don't need just because someone, and you know that by the advertisement that they're planting a thought in your mind that they want to get the money out of your pocket. You know that they have no good intention toward you, but because we have accepted to become part of the whole falsity and cheating of Maya, therefore we allow ourselves to be cheated. So people who want to be more substantial, they'll take that. They'll be happy to hear the actual message of Godhead. And those who just want to live in a delusion of happiness, which is the actual result is only suffering, then they'll become upset to hear the actual message which will deliver us from birth and death. But it's painful because it's just like an addict. If you're addicted to tobacco or alcohol or heroin or something, it's very painful to give that up. But that's for our benefit to do so. Yeah, well, the mic's over there, so. Yeah, if you see that if someone tries to help others to get off some addiction, then the addict sees the person who is going to help them as their enemy. And the person who gives them the intoxicant, they think, oh, very good. Because their whole perception of reality and what is good for them, they've become a victim of an intoxication which affects their consciousness, and they think that they need it. They feel that they need it. It's a very strong feeling, so strong that they can kill their mother and father to perpetuate that addiction. It totally overcomes their sense of discrimination. So therefore, they're all mad people. But among devotees also. If devotees don't like to hear what Krishna says and what Prabhupada says, how are they devotees? Isn't it? How can you be a devotee if you don't like to hear what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam? So we should be devotees. Don't only listen to the Rasa Leela. Then we don't only listen to stories. Then we become Prakriti Sahajiyas. They just like to listen to stories. We find that Prabhupada, who I hope we can all accept, although you never know nowadays, I hope we can all accept that he's the best preacher. He rarely told stories, and if he did so, he would tell them briefly, just as an anecdote to demonstrate some philosophical point. Otherwise, he was always speaking the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. What we need to hear, not what we want to hear. What we want to hear is very dangerous because we're in a deluded state. So, yeah, someone else?
Speaking about energy.
The six Goswamis are pleasing to both the Prabhupada translate that? The ruffians, he gave that word. What's the dhira dhira janapriyo priyakaro nirmatsaro pujito? They were the six Goswamis were dear to everyone, both the gentle and the ruffians, because they had no envy of anyone. So, yeah, well, some of the envious become reformed. That's the whole point of speaking to them. But as long as they're not reformed, then they're envious. Dhira dhira. That means, Prabhupada translated that as the gentle and the ruffians. They're not envious of anyone. Prabhupada was not envious of anyone. Six Goswamis were not envious of anyone. They may take it that we're against them, but we're not against them. We're not against anyone. But we are against the... it appears that we're against them because they identify themselves with all the wrong habits and sinful habits that they're addicted to. But we're not against them, but we're against everything that they're falsely identified with them, which covers their real perception of who they really are and how they can really be benefited. But they consider that we're against them because they don't know who they themselves are. Right. Prabhupada quoted that from Jesus, I believe it was, said that. Hate the sinner and not the sin. Wait a minute. Hate the sin and not the sinner. That's more like Hitler's policy, to hate the sinner but not hate the sin. It's like a public festival or something?
Downtown they have all these restaurants and they set up their own, you know, and they sell their eateries and then thousands and thousands of people come. But we were, when we first started, we were on the peripheral distributing for shopping, like, you know, those ladies, and that was really.
So why don't we have a stall there selling our prasadam?
We haven't really pursued that, so I don't know the details about it. But, you know, you're trying to do something good, and here they are, and so we need every different kind of variation of incorporation.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah, it's and then the smoke is produced.
This Chicago city grew up on cow slaughter, right?
Prabhupada said it would be a very difficult place to establish a number of associations.
Really?
Once it got going, it didn't really take off. But then he said that there'd be a lot of quarreling in these congregations here and that it would bring it down.
Prabhupada said that. Well, when it first started out, it was just hippies, actually. And later, they became brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. Yeah.
And so, you know, especially starting from a very young age, most people can't remain brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. And the majority of the devotees are in the household. So,
Yeah, get an education and get a job, yeah. The thing is that nowadays an education, a so-called education, doesn't really help you get a job anyway. Because everyone's going to the college. It's more than 70% of the boys and girls that pass out of high school, they go on to college, so it's not an advantage anymore. You told me yesterday that, what's that?
85% of all college graduates come with their parents.
85% of college graduates move back with their parents. And what's that company? eBay?
Yes, eBay.
eBay, their CEO is going around looking for the best kids coming out of high school and offering them $100,000 salary a year to come and work for him rather than going to college. Oh, he's doing like
I will give you $100,000 to do whatever business you want to do that.
I see. He's helping them in that way.
He said it's a waste of time.
A waste of time, and you end up with a big debt around your neck which stops you from doing anything. And you're already saddled with a huge debt before you even start. So it's more of a disadvantage these days, it seems. Maybe in some specific field, like chemical engineering. Do all the chemical engineers get jobs? I see. It's not such a popular field, is it, or something? You probably get harassed by the ecologist types, is it? It's a bit of a diversion from the... And let's not get into a big discussion about that. There are pros and cons. I mean, it's not that we tell everyone not to go to college. It can be helpful in some ways. But... Anyway, let's not discuss that now because it's a big topic. Just like for Drew, it's become helpful in the sense that if you want to get a job and you're not going to be a full-time devotee, then in his case, the degree has set him up for doing a job. Of course, you could be a full-time devotee. There's still time. If you're going to be a householder, here's a suggestion. Get out of the city, get some land and grow your own food. Live simply, chant Hare Krishna, because the way society is going, food's going to be more valuable than gold. You can't eat, you definitely can't eat dollar bills. That's not going to help you when food shortages come, if and when, but it looks like it's going to be sooner rather than later. But you can't even eat gold for that matter. You might be able to buy food if you can find some. But these big cities are going to have real problems. So, I mean, just even nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, even as a practical measure, if you can live simply and grow your own food, you're going to be... It's the best safeguard against difficulties which appear to be around a corner which is not very far away. And get a gun too. Yeah.
I don't know the verse of that. I was in class that spiritual master said it was a fool.
Yeah.
And just measuring against some of the things that were in class did. So I was wondering.
Oh, yeah, that Ishwara Puri said that. What is that? Murkatumi. Tomar Nahik Vedantadika Krishna Mantra Japa Sada A Mantrasa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was speaking with the Mayavadis at Varanasi, he said that my guru said I was a fool. You're not fit for studying Vedanta, so you just chant Hare Krishna. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the whole knowledge of Vedanta to the Mayavadis. He knew it very well. So he was making the point to the Mayavadis that chanting Hare Krishna is the essence. But it's not that one should not, and it's not that you just chant Hare Krishna and don't try to understand any philosophy. Where did you get that idea from? There's a misunderstanding of that. I mean, why do we have Bhagavatam class every morning? Why did Prabhupada translate all these books? They're not just story books. It's a full philosophy. Without understanding this philosophy, we can never properly chant Hare Krishna. Because chanting Hare Krishna means to present ourselves as servants of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we don't understand that, we can chant Hare Krishna for millions of lifetimes and not get the actual result. That's also stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bahu janma kare jadi shravan kirtan tabuta na pai Krishna pade prema dhan. There are plenty of people in India who chant Hare Krishna and they're in a severe illusion, or they chant names of Krishna just like India's most, in recent times, the most famous bogus person recently passed away. This Baba, who spent the last few years in a wheelchair. And at his ashram, his followers, they all chant names of Krishna, but they think he's Krishna, and it's very offensive. They don't have a clear understanding. So we need to have a clear understanding. We are habituated, even though we hear the... we're supposed to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We're habituated to thinking of ourselves as the rightful enjoyers of our bodies and our senses. So we have to hear regularly. Otherwise, how are we going to become purified from that? So it's not that by quoting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't propose to throw out all philosophy. Rather, he proposed to throw out all bogus philosophy. Because actually the study of Vedanta by the Shankara Sampradaya is extremely difficult, because it's very complex. It's just like if you want to prove something which is not true, it becomes very complex. If something which is clear, you don't have to prove it. It's self-evident. Just like 1 + 1 = 2, right? You don't need, once you've been through 2 weeks of school as a kid, you can understand that, right? Okay. So, 1 = 0. What do you think about that proposition? That's Mayavadi proposition, isn't it? Well, by the time I was at school, when we were doing calculus and all this kind of thing, then our teacher at school, making a big equation, cancelled it all down and made it to 1 = 0. He proved by mathematics that 1 = 0. How did he do that? We had, you know, in one bracket and a whole x, y cubed times 43 hb with the line, and then underneath it something else, and then another bracket, and then another bracket on one side of the equal sign, then another whole bunch of brackets on the other. And we were all looking at it. But then he went back over it. You had to be quite good in algebra to even understand this. But then he went and he showed I was actually cheating, because one of the brackets cancelled out another to become zero. The calculation should have stopped then. So he reduced it all to 1 = 0. So by a specious method, you can establish something which is untrue. You have to come to like a good level of mathematics to be even able to understand the reasoning that 1 = 0, which is Mayavad and which is nonsense. But the straightforward thing, even a child can understand. So, the Shankara, the philosophy of Advaitavad, Shankaracharya, Mayavad philosophy, it's all very complex, and interpreting Sanskrit words in a convoluted manner to squeeze out some bogus meaning. So you actually have to be very expert in Sanskrit grammar and perverted thinking, complex perverted thinking, even to follow it. But that doesn't mean that kind of bogus philosophy is very difficult to understand. So we shouldn't engage in that at all. But take the straightforward philosophy of Krishna consciousness as it is. Very straightforward, simple and easy to understand. But don't throw that out. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
So is Bhagavad Gita Swami Maharaj ki
jai.